No. Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. I said that before I opened my Bible and my notes, so when I read my Bible daily, I do not read it to get sermons. Now, I know you don't, because you don't preach like I do, but just to confess, I don't read my Bible and say, God, give me something to preach. I read my Bible for my own personal benefit, just for my own personal growth. My sermons rarely come from my Bible reading, but tonight is an exception, because I was recently reading through the book of, did I say Jeremiah? So why am I in Isaiah 13? Tell you what, folks, getting old ain't for sissies. Jeremiah 13, all right? I was reading through Jeremiah recently, and this story just jumped out at me, and for some reason God had me pay special attention to it. And so when I'm reading, I don't want to stop and study, because then I don't get my reading done, and I have daily amounts I like to read. So I just jotted down the text, and then later on I went back to it and began to study it and research it and look at it, and I think there's a wonderful truth in here for you and I. And this is not a joke like Pastor Braden told. So when we look at the linen girdle tonight, the title of my sermon is A Lesson from a Linen Girdle. And him having set it up that way, you might not have taken me seriously. But that's what we're going to look at tonight. Look at Jeremiah 13, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. You've heard that expression before, haven't you? Probably used that expression before. Verse 11, For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. Father, bless tonight the reading of your word. Bless our study of your word. Lord, give us the historical truth that is recorded here in this story of Jeremiah. And Father, also give us the application, because all of these things are written as examples that we might learn and grow. Bless your word tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, when Jesus spoke in the New Testament, He spoke in parables. When the prophets spoke in the Old Testament, they spoke in object lessons. Many of the different prophets of the Old Testament were commanded to do some very strange and unusual things to get the message across to the nation of Israel. We read of some of those things, like Jeremiah lost his wife to a stroke. We're familiar with that word. God smote her with a stroke and then told Jeremiah, I'm going to take away from you the pride of your life, the love of your life, and when I do, I don't want you to shed a tear. What a hard thing to put upon a man of God, a prophet. And of course, the lesson to the nation of Israel was that they had not grieved, they had not wept over their sins and what they had done. And so God used Jeremiah in that case, and here again, as an object lesson. The prophet Hosea was told by God to go out and marry a woman of whoredoms. He was to seek out an unclean woman, a harlot, and marry her. What an unusual thing to do. We read about the prophet Isaiah, who was commanded for 3 weeks to walk about naked and barefoot. And I'm not even going to touch that one. I am glad I am a New Testament gospel preacher and not an Old Testament prophet, because those prophets were called upon by God to do some very unusual things. I find it humorous today when these misguided people say, today, these upper echelon preachers say, I am a prophet. Okay, be careful what you sign up for. God might ask you to do something very strange and very unusual. And in the Old Testament, God used these prophets to do some very strange and unusual things, because it's what it took to get the attention of the children of Israel. They were hard-headed, they were blinded, they couldn't see their sinfulness and wickedness. And God had to have these prophets do some object lessons to try to get through to them so they'd understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, the Jews require a sign. And all throughout the Old Testament, God gave the Jewish people through these prophets unbelievable signs, unusual things that happened. Because He was doing all that He could. God was doing all that He could, humanly speaking, to get through to the people. Because the people of Israel were hard-headed and cold-hearted and could not get the message. Aren't you glad we are so different from that Old Testament nation of Israel? Are we? Sometimes we hear the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and it goes off water like a duck's back. Sometimes God gives us something from the Word of God that's so astounding and unbelievable and warms our heart for a minute, and before you know it, we're just as cold as ice. God had to use these things, and He used these illustrations and object lessons for the nation of Israel historically, and I think for you and I practically, because every time we read one of these stories in the Old Testament, though it was aimed at the nation of Israel and had a truth that was specifically for them, we could also make application in our day. Because as I said already, these things were written for our examples, for our learning, so that we might benefit from them also. I want us to look at this story tonight here in Jeremiah 13. A very unusual story in these first 11 verses that we might kind of just read through and gloss over very quickly. But I want you to see one thing first of all, and I've got 3 points to my message. It'll make it easy to follow, because notice verse number 2. So I got a girdle according to, notice this, the word of the Lord. In verse 1 and 2, God speaks to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came once, verse 1 and 2. Verse 3, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time. So the word of the Lord, verse 1 and 2, came once. Verse 3, the word of the Lord came twice. Then look at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the word of the Lord came thrice. Well, not say three times. Thrice sounds better. Rhymes with twice. So verse 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came once. Verse 3 to 7, the word of the Lord came twice. And verse 8 to 11, the word of the Lord came thrice. 3 times it's recorded in this story that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And there's a very valuable lesson in those 3 things in and of themselves. As we look at the first time the word of the Lord came in verse 1 and 2, I want you to see 2 things. First of all, verse 1, the unusual request. The unusual request. Here's what God said in verse 1. Go and get thee a linen girdle. God wanted Jeremiah to have an hourglass figure. No, that's not what that's about. The word girdle in their day did not mean the same thing as the word girdle does in our day. As you know, the men back there wore flowing robes. That was their normal apparel. And to bind up those flowing robes, they wore what we would call a belt or a sash, but they called it a girdle. So we have to get our mind off our 21st century Americanisms and understand what we're talking about. The Bible says about Elijah the Tishbite. Remember that fellow? The guy that battled with Ahab on the Mount Carmel and all that? Elijah the Tishbite, the Bible says that he wore a leather girdle. I mean, he went all out. The Bible tells us about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 that he was the same. He was the type of Elijah. And he wore also a leather girdle. But God tells Jeremiah to get a linen girdle. Now again, the girdle was not an unusual thing in and of itself. The Bible tells us twice in the New Testament, it tells us to gird our loins about. In the book of Ephesians, our loins girded about with truth. That was a very common expression because it was a very common practice. That the men would take that sash that would wrap around their waist and they would tie their garments together so that they could work in the field, so they could plow, so they could do whatever they wanted to. They couldn't do it with those long flowing robes, so they would bind them up together and they would tie it with that girdle. And God tells Jeremiah, hey, run down to Walmart and get yourself a new linen girdle. Not a pricey one, not a leather one, but something very practical, something very useful, something very usual, but God's going to use it in a great way. You know, I get a blessing from that. Because many times God blesses us by very normal things. We're looking for stupendous, off-the-wall miracles. You know what God likes to do? Take that boy's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Very normal stuff. And multiply it to feed 5,000 people. Take a linen girdle, nothing out of the ordinary, something very common, and use it as an object lesson to teach a very important and valuable lesson. God will use in your life and mine the very simple things of this life. Don't look for the fantastic. You know what the problem with a charismatic movement is? They need something spectacular. For them to believe in God, they've got to have healings and tongues and miracles and all that. And God doesn't work that way today. God takes the loaves and the fishes. God takes the belt or the sash or the linen girdle and does something with it. Because our God is the God of the ordinary. And so Jeremiah is told to get a linen girdle and put it upon his loins, tie it around your waist. And the Bible says in verse number 2, I like this. So, verse number 1 is an unusual request. Verse number 2 is an unquestioned obedience. An unquestioned obedience. God, the Lord told him, go get a linen girdle and put it on thy loins. Verse 2, so I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. You say, what's the big deal? It's a very big deal. God says, here's what I want you to do. 2 things. Buy a girdle, put it on. So, I bought a girdle and put it on. Folks ask a lot of times, what's the will of God for my life? You know what the will of God is? Do the ordinary. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Most people, when they say, especially young people, what's the will of God? They want to know, what am I supposed to do after I finish high school? Well, when you finish high school, worry about what you're going to do when you finish high school. What am I going to do in my 30s or my 40s? You know, that's not important. What you're doing right now is what determines the will of God. What was the will of God for Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 13? It was this, go buy a girdle and put it on. Well, that's nothing fantastic or stupendous. No, the will of God usually is not. It's just an act of obedience. I like that word so. That God said, do this, so I did what God told me to do. You know, it is much easier to obey the will of God than to resist the will of God. When God leads us in a direction that is right and we're supposed to do this, and we fight against it, we exert more energy trying to fight against God than we would exert if we'd simply obey God. Obeying God is much better than resisting God. Can I call a man to the witness stand named Jonah to bear witness that it's much better to do what God tells you to do when He tells you to do it than to try to manipulate the situation and do what you want to do only to end up doing what God wanted you to do in the first place? So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, and Jeremiah says, "So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins." We're going to see this word again down in verse number five. "So I went." When God asks you to do something, do it. Go to church, pray, read your Bible, witness to someone, invite them to church. Whatever God asks you to do, it's much easier to do it than to resist it. I can speak, we can all, I think, speak by personal testimony. To resist God and to say, well, I don't want to do that. We usually end up doing it anyways. Why not do it right off the bat? And start. When the Lord speaks, "So I got a girdle." So that's the Lord, the word of the Lord came once. Then in verse 3 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time." You know how fantastic that statement is? What if Jeremiah had not done what God told him to do the first time? There would not have been a second time. If God had said to Jeremiah, "Go buy a linen girdle and put it on," and Jeremiah had said, "I'll get around to it," the word of the Lord would not have come. We don't know how much time transpires between verse 2 and verse 3. I kind of think there was probably a little bit of time. Because the whole object lesson of this, as we're going to see in a moment, is regards that linen girdle, and it's got to take some time and have some wear and tear and all that. That's what God's going to... So I believe that Jeremiah went and bought that linen girdle and put it on and wore it for quite a while before verse number 3, and God spoke to him the second time. You want God to speak to you? Make sure you did what He asked you to do the first time. God is not a God who wastes His breath. He's not the kind of God that says, "All right, here's what I want you to do," and then you don't do it. And here's our human nature. God asks something of us, and it's usually not big. Get a linen girdle. God asks us to do something, and we don't do it, and we put it off, and then we question why God's not blessing us. Why God's not doing what He promised He'd do in His Word. Jeremiah was told by God what to do, and he did it. So I got a girdle and put it on, and the word of the Lord came to me a second time. What a tremendous and valuable lesson. You know why the children of Israel didn't hear from God for a long time? Why the heavens were as brass and there was no rain? Because they were resisting the word of God. God was sending them prophet after prophet and proclaiming His word to them, and they were disregarding it and remaining in their wickedness and ungodliness. So God shut up the clouds of heaven and sent no rain. Then they complained because they weren't getting any rain. They started worshiping the gods of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites, thinking that that would get them some rain. If we want God's blessing in our life, we have to be obedient. For there's no better way than to trust and obey. So the word of the Lord came to him the second time, verse number 4, saying, "Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock." So I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. The word of the Lord came twice. In verse 4 and 5, God said, "Hide it. Hide the linen girdle. You've been wearing it now for Jeremiah for some time. It's become dirty and dusty. worn and ragged. I want you to take it now and hide it in the Euphrates. Now again, the purpose of this whole lesson with this belt is for it to get dirty and grimy and filthy. That's why God had told him up in verse number 1, put it not in water. What does that mean? Yeah. Why would somebody go buy a linen girdle and stick it in water? No, that means don't wash it. Don't wear it for a while and then go clean it. I want it to get dirty, Jeremiah. I want it to get as dirty as it can possibly get. So Jeremiah wore it, he worked in it, he went about his deeds for however long of time. Then God said, all right, now I want you to go and I want you to hide it by the rock in the river, by the river Euphrates. Now how easily we read those words. But think about this. Where is Jeremiah? Well, he's born in Anathoth. That's a city outside of Jerusalem. He is a prophet to Judah in Jerusalem. So his message is being proclaimed in Jerusalem. And God says, I want you to go put that girdle at the Euphrates. Now, I Googled this because I've never traveled from Jerusalem to Euphrates. And that's 600 miles. God told this prophet to travel 600 miles one way to go put that girdle near the Euphrates River. Now the Euphrates doesn't flow anywhere over there to Jerusalem to make that a shorter trip. God required of him, after using a very simple thing, a very easy thing, to go buy a girdle. Now he says, I want you to take that girdle 600 miles away and put it in a rock by the river Euphrates. Verse 5, so I went. I don't know if everything that happened is recorded in the Scripture or not. But can you imagine? God asking him to go put it, he's in Jerusalem, and God says, I want you to put that in Euphrates. And had it been you or I, wouldn't we have said, Lord, did you mispronounce that word? Did you mean Jordan? You know, the river right outside of town there. Did you mean one of these other rivers here? Did you really mean you really want me to go 600 miles away with this girdle to go stick it in a rock and then come back? How silly does that sound? How ridiculous of a request is that? I don't know what went through Jeremiah's mind at the time. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe he was such a servant of the Lord that when God said, go put it there, he simply said, yes, sir. Packed his bags and headed that direction. I don't know how it worked. But I do know it says in verse 5, so I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. Are you seeing an outstanding trait of the prophet Jeremiah right now? Why God so greatly used him and blessed him? Because when God gave him a small command, he did not hesitate to do it. When God gave him a larger command, we don't read about any hesitation of his part to do it. Do we want to be used of God and blessed of God in our daily life? Not for fantastic things. This is not a fantastic thing. Buying a girdle. Traveling six, I'm sure people, if anybody was watching what was going on, they're thinking, what in the world are you doing? Why don't you take that girdle off and wash it every once in a while, Jeremiah? God's got a lesson. You mean to tell me you're going to go 600 miles away to put it by the river Euphrates? I mean, if you want to wash it, there's plenty of water around here. No, God told me not to. What do you mean God speaks to you? Those women on The View gave our former vice president a hard time. Because they didn't have a problem with him saying he spoke to God, but they said, you think God speaks to you? And they thought he was some kind of nut or something. If I'd been in his place, I would have just said, well, I think there's something wrong with you if God's never spoken to you. And I don't know what kind of ridicule and mocking Jeremiah went through. I read in other places he went through a whole lot of it. But I don't think he was interested in anybody else but what God told him to do. And that was go 600 miles. I researched this and I read some, and somebody said that was 250 miles. And so I checked different sources, and I thought, why are they coming up with 250? I want to find it. And the guy that said 250 said, according to Google, it's 250 miles. So I went to Google Maps. And I put in, how far from Jerusalem to Euphrates? And it gave it in kilometers. And with my highly articulate mathematical brain, I used Google. Said, how many? And I converted the kilometers into miles and got the distance from there. 633, it said, something like that. I don't know why the guy said 250. I mean, I couldn't, that's 600 miles. All the way there, and then come back. After you put it in the rock, then come all the way back. Now the guys are going to say, hey, Jeremiah, where's your girdle? Where's your belt? And now he's got to explain the story to them. You know, everything God asks us to do does not always have a good explanation. And a lot of times, things God asks us to do, other people may not understand, especially family and friends. Why are you so holy? They'll say that with a mocking tone. Why do you go to church so much? Why do you give to the church? Why do you do what you do? Because we're not looking at all this out here. We're looking at God. Jeremiah wasn't looking at the people. If he'd looked at the people on the outside, maybe he'd have done differently. But his focus was on God. The Word of God said, go buy a girdle, put it on, don't wash it. So Jeremiah did it. After a little bit of time, the Word of God came to a second time, said, all right, now I want you to go and bury it in a rock at the Euphrates. So he made that 600-mile journey over there to do that. That's a pretty demanding task. And then 600 miles back, he was told to hide it, and he did. Then in verse 6 and 7, after God said, hide it, he says, go find it. Verse number 6. And it came to pass after many days, he's back from Euphrates, back to Jerusalem, and it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Been there, done that. Marine Corps boot camp, 1974. Staff Sergeant Schmearsall says, all right, maggot, I'm giving you the PG version. Dig me a hole. Sir, yes, sir. Go dig that hole. I want it 6 foot deep, four foot long, 6 feet, 6 foot deep, 6 foot long, 2 foot wide. I want you to be able to stand in it, and it'll be over your head. Sir, yes, sir. Get out there and dig that old hole. Get just about done after hours of digging that hole, all that dirt's up on the ground. You come climbing up out of there. Sergeant Manners comes by. Not the same guy. Staff Sergeant Manners comes by. Private, what are you doing? Sir, digging a hole, sir. Why are you digging a hole in my field, Private? Sir, Sergeant Smearsall told the private to dig a hole, sir. Private, look around. Do you see any other holes in this big old field? No, sir. Then there shouldn't be a hole here either, should there, Private? No, sir. Private, fill in that hole. Yes, sir. Put all that dirt right back in the hole you just dug it out of. How ridiculous. How insane. Of course, you no longer fill that, you know, sooner get that last spade of dirt on top of that and pat it down. And Sergeant Smearsall comes back again, the first guy. Private, I left you a few hours ago, told you to dig a hole. Where's my hole? No answer, sir. I think Jeremiah could have felt that way. He took that sash, he went 600 miles and put it, he did what God told him to do. Now he came back, and after a few days, God says, go get it again. Well, Lord, why did you have me take it so far? How long did it take him to make a 600-mile journey by foot? And 600 miles back. And now a few days later, whatever, a certain time later, God says, go back and get it again. Lord, are you sure? Sir, yes, sir. And so God sends him back the second time to get it. He says in verse 7, then I went to Euphrates and digged. and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. That's not a real common word in the Bible, but it's a very descriptive word. It was marred. It was profitable for nothing. That linen girdle that he had bought new, had never washed, had taken and stuck in the hole of a rock over by the river Euphrates. Now he goes after all this time to get it, and with the weather and the storms and the wind and the wear and all that, it's just good for nothing. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. All right, the word of the Lord came unto him thrice. Now he's going to learn the lesson of why God told him to do what he was doing. He didn't get it the first time God spoke. He didn't get it the second time God spoke. But the third time, God teaches him the lesson that he's intending to teach him. Oh, that's great. God does not always teach us what he's trying to teach us the first time. There has to be some steps of obedience until we learn the lesson. If Jeremiah had stopped after step number one, no lesson. If he had stopped with step number two, no lesson. But he was obedient to do everything that God told him to do, whether it seemed reasonable or unreasonable. He did it anyways, and now God's going to teach him the reason he did all those things. How many things have happened in your life that you wonder why God allowed them to happen? You wonder why God orchestrated things the way he did or allowed them to do. You know what? Keep being obedient to him. Keep following him. Be open to the next time he speaks. He's got a lesson in everything he does. So the word of the Lord came unto me saying, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This takes us a little of history. You remember that the tribes have split. The son of Solomon, Rehoboam, inherited all 12 tribes from his father. But he unwisely dealt with the people. And God took 10 of those tribes away from Rehoboam and gave them to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So Jeroboam got the 10 northern tribes. Rehoboam got the 2 southern tribes, which are called Judah. The northern tribes are called Israel after that. The southern tribes are called Judah. Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah. Elijah was a prophet to Israel. Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah, and the heart of Judah is Jerusalem. And so his ministry is to those 2 southern tribes. From Jerusalem, and God says about them in verse 10, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall be even as this girdle, which is good for nothing. The whole purpose of this object lesson, the reason that God's got Jeremiah running around doing all these unusual things, is a sign to the nation of Israel that they are like that linen girdle. They started out pure and clean and whole. But they've not washed themselves. They've not kept themselves clean, we would say, by the washing of water by the Word. And they went into idolatry and wicked practices and sinfulness. And you and I, when you read your Bible, we skip over some things that we don't realize the awfulness of the sin that the children of Israel got involved in their worship of other gods and those practices. And God says to them, you have become just like this girdle that I had Jeremiah put on. You've become filthy and dirty and unclean. Verse 11, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. See, the lesson is, Jeremiah is a picture of God. The girdle is a picture of the nation of Israel. God says, as a man puts on that girdle, and it's a garment that's close to him, that's right in his bosom, that's part of him all the time, everywhere he goes. God says, that's how I created the nation of Israel, to be like that for me. But they become dirty and filthy. And so God had Jeremiah go 600 miles away to Euphrates to hide that garment in a rock. Oh, there's a great truth in that. Jeremiah's ministry to Jerusalem was, hey, don't you know that as Assyria came down and conquered those 10 tribes because of their wickedness, Judah, you think you're not as bad as they were, so God's let you live a little longer and have your freedom a little longer. But don't you know that God's going to raise up someone named Nebuchadnezzar who's going to come from 600 miles away from the Euphrates River, from the land of Babylon, and he's going to come and take you away? That's the whole picture story that's given there. The reason he was told to take that, why was he not told to take it north somewhere or south somewhere? Why did he have to go to the east? Why 600 miles away? Why did the Euphrates? Because that's Babylon. And that was the nation that God was going to raise up to come into Jerusalem and take them all away to the land of Babylon. God is teaching a lesson through this whole thing. I created you to be clean and pure and righteous, and you become dirty and filthy and wicked. You're like my very garment that I keep close to me. And yet I've had to cast it aside. That was the lesson that Jeremiah had for the nation of Israel. When we read this story, that is the lesson. It was a lesson by a Jewish prophet to a Jewish nation. Oh, but we can't let our thoughts stop there. These things were written for examples that we might learn. Can I tell you something tonight? You and I are much closer to God than a linen girdle. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was the apple of God's eye. He was God's chosen people. But they were always something on the outside. The apple of His eye, a linen girdle, a fig tree. You and I are bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. We are part of the body of Christ. We have a much higher calling than the nation of Israel ever had. Theirs was an external relationship with God. Ours is an internal relationship with God. We're members of His body. Christ explained that thoroughly in the New Testament. We're eyes and noses and ears and hair and all that kind of stuff. We're part of His very body. If the nation of Israel displeased God by being a linen garment that became dirty and filthy, how much more would a member of His body be displeasing to Him to become dirty and filthy and unclean? See, the challenge to you and I is not to be like that linen girdle. Not to allow ourselves to get that filthy. But to be put in water. But to be washed regularly. And how do we get washed? By the water of the Word. By allowing God. See, when we read these words, they're not just hitting our eyes. Hopefully, they're hitting our heart. And we read that Bible like that, and we read about these things, and it has a meaning to it, and a richness to it, and a deepness to it, and an application to it. And we don't worry about peripheral things. We don't worry about what people say and what people will think, like Jeremiah. We have a singular focus. To be clean. To be that clean garment. To be that clean part of the body. You know what they do with the body when they find something that's filthy and unclean? The liver gets corrupt. A cancer seeps in. They do whatever they can to cut it out. Don't be that part of the body of Christ. Jeremiah's lesson to the nation of Israel is that God does not like uncleanness. God will deal with wickedness. God wants purity. God's lesson through Jeremiah to you and I tonight is the very same lesson. God does not like uncleanness. He does not like impurity. He does not like wickedness. And yet I'm afraid so many times, like the nation of Israel, we say, oh, it's just a little thing. It's not that big a deal. It's not that important. But you know, a little bit of dirt quickly becomes a lot of dirt when the dirt isn't dealt with. And so God calls upon us to deal with it when it's small, before it gets too filthy, before God says, I got to remove it and put it far away. The lesson from a linen girdle. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.